Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Sheila Crawford. And we always like to begin by reminding our listeners that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. A boatload of knowledge that we hope you will share with others. Now please join us in prayer. Most generous Father and our El Shaddai, we worship and adore you. Thank you for sending your Son, and may he return soon as our King to rule and reign over all the earth. As the bride of Christ in your name, we take binding authority over the evil one. And for those who are ill and listening right now, we curse the root of all types of cancers or debilitating diseases. May you be healed in the name of Jesus. We also ask that you show favor to our recent request for prayer. And as always, we implore that you plow the soil of the hearts of our unsaved families so the seeds may receive and take root. Bless abundantly our faithful supporters as we sincerely thank you for your many provisions, and may you be pleased with tonight's teachings. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And we are glad to be back after a couple of weeks off, and except for that major earthquake in Taiwan and the onset of the Zika virus, not any major news catastrophes are being reported, at least in the main media, because, well, of course, they're mostly talking about politics, sports, and Hollywood. We did watch the last Republican debate, and I'm not going to take our precious time to say a lot on that because it's still 9 months away. However, when Rubio kept insisting that Obama was very smart and his plan to take down America was working, why didn't the other candidates agree with that? Because, I mean, it's really true. He's not stupid, but he has been methodically orchestrated from day one, I believe.
Oh, yes, he is, and does precisely what the puppet masters tell him to do. By the way, we sent out the newsletters last week.
We did.
Where you gave some important insights to a candidate named Donald Trump. Maybe give us a little tease of some of your research.
Well, just a little. And, you know, anyone can check him out because he has, it's obvious he has Jesuit training. Mm-hmm. He was once Catholic, who says he's now a Presbyterian. He attended Jesuit Fordham University for 2 years and then went on to the covertly Jesuit-controlled University of Pennsylvania. He truly does have connections in high places that he often mentions.
And his children also went to Jesuit colleges too, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was his first three children from his first wife, who, by the way, are now helping to run his empire. But I do have a couple tidbits that I just recently found out that's not in the newsletter, and that is that his German grandfather, after immigrating here legally, changed his last name from Drumpf to Trump. And in 1999, this is another good tidbit, Donald's older sister Mary, she was actually nominated by Bill Clinton for a federal appeals court judge, which was confirmed by the Senate.
Huh. Could that be one of the many negotiating favors Donald admits to?
Yeah, he doesn't deny anything. he says what he wants.
Yes, he does.
And also, there's the fact that Hillary is a distant cousin to Donald from the royal family line of the Duke and Duchess of Lancaster. Can you imagine? I thought it was very interesting, too, that when Hillary was asked how she's coping with the stress in her life, she said, "Oh, I have a favorite Jesuit prayer that keeps me going." Really? A Jesuit prayer? Of course, that's not surprising. She, too, is an upper-tier female Freemason of the Eastern Star Division. And by the way, so is Sarah Palin and Dianne Feinstein. by the way, the highest rule in the Jesuit training book is infiltrate, infiltrate, infiltrate. Totally, the tares have infiltrated the wheat.
And we're stuck with it till Jesus comes. So says the famous parable in Matthew 13.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's enough on politics because, as I always say, when it comes to especially presidential politics, by the time they get to the primaries, candidates are either already the elite or bought and paid for by the global establishment.
Like owning all the horses in a race, it ensures a predictable outcome.
That's well put.
Mm-hmm. You can sign up to receive these newsletters and occasional updates on our webpage, or just send an email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. What's going on over in Israel in the Middle East?
Well, Russia, Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah are working together and actually doing pretty good at it. They have been pushing ISIS away from the towns that they had been occupying. So, ISIS is actually moving south using underground tunnels that Hamas has been digging for quite some time. There are even reports that Israelis can often feel the pounding right under their feet, as they must constantly, as well, look over their shoulders for a stabber or a shooter that continues daily, too. And just like over here, there is a divide between the left and the right. The right, especially Knesset Minister Bennett, who is furious that the left, represented by Defense Minister Ya'alon, says, don't stop the tunnel digging because it might start a war. Well, these tunnels are also being used to transport the injured from ISIS to be treated in a Gaza hospital. As well, of course, moving a lot of supplies to ISIS in northern Egypt. And Egypt's president, El-Sisi, is not happy. But meanwhile, Iran is receiving billions of dollars from the United States and other nations, who then pass it on to Hezbollah and Hamas and others. But here's the kicker. Barack Obama has now reneged on his pledge to increase Israel's funding due to the United States and Iran deal, so Israel could build up its defense system. That's what he told him he would do. Well, now he says, oh, we can't afford it.
Yeah, because we're giving it to Iran.
I know. It's just so outrageous.
Yeah, I know.
So although Israel does not directly share borders with Iran, the threat is even greater due to Iran's proxy armies and Iran's Revolutionary Guard, which is inching closer to Israel's border from the Golan Heights.
And didn't we read where Iran's President Rouhani recently went to Rome?
Oh, yeah. And he had a closed-door meeting with the Jesuit Pope Francis. Of course, we'll never know what was truly discussed, but Francis did openly say that they share common values.
Well, now that's probably true. You know, the Vatican has a lot of power.
Yes, I'd say so. Remember, the Pope, also known as the peacemaker, was the main catalyst in the United States Communist Cuba negotiations. That wasn't well said. But it's interesting that both Castro brothers also received Jesuit schooling. And Pope Francis really does have many closed-door meetings with heads of state anyway.
Right. And yet, some still think he's not political. You know, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but he got a lot of the Nazis out of Germany. The Vatican got them out after World War II.
I remember reading that too, yes. Mm-hmm. I know, and that's not open.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is also now dealing with the possibility that Obama might take over for the current Secretary General of the UN. When he steps down at the end of this year.
What great timing.
Well, here's what Prime Minister Netanyahu recently said about this predicament. And this is a quote. Isn't 8 years of having Obama in office enough? Uh-huh. 8 years in which he ignored Israel, and now he wants to be in a position that is liable to cause us hardship in the international arena. Yeah. And it's true.
Yep. Yep. Well, if this is Obama's plan, I don't think he'll declare martial law. He won't need to remain as our president, as some are suggesting he will.
Yeah, a lot of us thought that that could be a possibility a while ago, but I think now he'll just continue with his executive orders to advance his global agenda and then wave a pseudo-reluctant goodbye to further the globalist agenda. Now, if I don't know if you've noticed, but Hillary, she's really been cuddling up to Obama these days. Even said, if elected, she just might appoint him to the Supreme Court.
Wow. Can you just imagine that?
Oh, my heavens.
All right, then. You can send your end times question to by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and are greatly appreciated. And automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly gathers for worship and a timely Bible study at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, and we'll be back in Menor on March 24th.
Okay, now let's get into the only true book in the world, our Bible, that we are so absolutely blessed to have. It's so supernatural that just by reading its pages, God is growing inside of you. Right. Besides Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God is too. Ephesians 4:6 says, the Father lives in us as well. All three of the Trinity taking up residence in our bodies, which is why our bodies are His temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So tonight, since there is such an enormous attack on the pre-trib rapture doctrine, I want to address along with scripture some of the obvious reasons why we cannot be here for the tribulation, any part of it. None. Nada. I recently saw where even the secular world is denouncing it, who are certainly not qualified to speak on the biblical truths of God, as in the Catholic Alex Jones did recently. He said, as do many others, that the rapture theory was never discussed even 200 years ago, that it's a newer idea. That is a very false statement, to which I will address first. I have on my webpage around 10 Old Testament scriptures explaining the fact that we, the righteous, will not be here for the final judgment. A couple examples is Psalm 12, verse 1, where it says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from the sons of men. Now, that's pretty plain. Isaiah 57, 1 says, the righteous perishes, but that word is a bod, in it's number 6, and it also means to vanish. So you can say the righteous vanish, and no man takes it to heart that merciful men are taken away. Well, no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. That's why we must leave, for evil has to be able to increase, and we are the light restraining from that going full force, in what 2 Thessalonians tells us. There are also many scriptures in the New Testament, of which I have listed there on my webpage as well. And if you don't have a computer, come on, you know somebody who does. Go to the library, they'll do it for you. So don't let that be a hang-up for you. And then they go on and say that this girl named Margaret MacDonald, or something to that effect, she had a dream about the rapture. Well, that doesn't mean she started the doctrine. It only means she was confirming a doctrine that had been lost for a while during the era called the Church of Sardis. You can read about that in Revelation 3. And the rapture doctrine was revived again in the era of the Church of Philadelphia. That's us. And that began around 1740, and both of those churches are still here today. Mainline Protestantism and the Church of Philadelphia is the born-again church. Of course, we also have the Church of Laodicea, which I'm sure you know all about. They're the lazy church, and they won't study the Word. So they are not standing up and defending the Word of God, which is for our reproof, because they don't know it. And then, of course, you have the Church of Thyatira is still here as well, and that's the Roman Catholic Church. But that's a whole nother study. Anyway, the other major error that Alex Jones probably copied from a post-trib believer is the famous Matthew 24, 30 through 31 scripture, which I talk about often because it's the only real scripture they can use, because the church as a whole, again, doesn't understand Hebraic roots. And really, when it comes to the Old Testament, I've heard a lot of saints say they don't even read the Old Testament. So basically, Matthew 24 is a short overview of the seven-year tribulation. It starts with the seal judgments and then the abomination of desolation in the middle, I think verse 15, when the Jews are by then saved, will flee to the mountains where God protects them until Jesus returns with his wife, Revelation 19:7, it says wife, to finish the wrath and throw the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And of course, that's Revelation 19:20. So back in Matthew 24, in verses 30 and 31, well, here's what it says, and then I'll comment on it. It says, then at the end of the tribulation, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, which are the unrighteous, will mourn because they blew it. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And verse 31 says, and he, Jesus, will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That just means north, south, east, and west. This is clearly the second coming and is different than the rapture, and that Jesus calls his bride up to meet him in the air. Dead or alive, you're going. And we are given new immortal bodies. Well, in verse 31, Jesus, it says, sends his angels to gather the elect for the judgment of the sheep and the goats. That's different. And by the way, who are the elect? Well, we're gone. Isn't it interesting that in the Old Testament, Israel was clearly called his elect in Isaiah 45:4? So it's the righteous. So in the New Testament, the bride is the elect. But in the tribulation, the 144,000 and the other righteous will be the elect. So when Matthew says the angels will gather the elect, it's the tribulation saints. Again, this is a classic example of why knowing some basic tenets of your Judeo-Christian heritage is imperative if you really want to understand eschatology. And this next information really will help you see things in a deeper way. There are three shofar or trump idioms for three feasts. The three trumpets are called the first, the last, and the great. The first is associated with Pentecost because at the first Pentecost in Exodus 19, when they received the law, God blew the shofar for the first time in Scripture. If you look at your concordance, you will see that the trumpet is not listed before Exodus 19. And that was a shofar or ram's horn, not a silver trumpet. So Pentecost took on the phrase, the first trump. It's an idiom or an expression. And when used, again, they could say, well, the first trump is coming. They would know that it's Pentecost. No, not Donald. Then there is the last trump. And also, it's a shofar, a ram's horn, and is associated with Rosh Hashanah, which is the birthday of the world and the creation of Adam. On Rosh Hashanah, 100 blasts of the shofar are blown So when the last shofar is blown, it essentially starts the new year. So the last trump idiom became associated with Rosh Hashanah, and Paul knew that, which is why he added the term last in 1 Corinthians 15:51. It was an extra mystery that he revealed that he had not said previously, like in 1 Thessalonians 4. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says the sound of the last trump. Here's the exact words. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Okay? Now, the next idiom for a shofar or a trumpet is called the great trumpet, and is always associated with Yom Kippur because of the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25 says to be sure and blow it on this day. So since that year is questionable, they always blow the great shofar on Yom Kippur. So in Matthew 24:31, as we read a few minutes ago, it says he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. There's the great trumpet to gather his elect. That is a huge clue that Jesus will return at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur. And of course, that would fulfill that feast. And Rosh Hashanah was fulfilled 7 years earlier then, when he called us up in the air to meet him. Saints, connecting all the dots means you must not take anything out of context, but rather use other scriptures to interpret and confirm. Then, knowing the customs and the phraseology of the day is just huge. So now when you hear someone use Matthew 24:31 to say we are here for the tribulation, explain who the elect are by showing them Israel once was called that too in Isaiah 45:4, and there will be an elect during the tribulation. And tell them about the three trumps. You can do this, church, and really, if enough of us would stand up for what we know to be true, we would have less of the false teachers teaching what I call heresy. To rob a Christian of the blessed hope and as a consequence rob them of rewards because they are not anxiously looking for him, which is the only way we can get the crown of righteousness, so says 2 Timothy 4:8. It also says in Hebrews 9:28 that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear the second time, not for sin this time, but for deliverance. The word in your Bible might say salvation, but it really means deliverance. It's a pectakamai, and it means expectantly looking for him. And salvation is soteria, which means rescue or deliverance. So these post and mid-tribbers are not looking for Jesus. They are looking for the Antichrist to come first. This is totally against what Scripture teaches. And shame on you if you're not defending the truth. Don't be passive, but do stay in a loving tone, because that's why we are to stand tall, because we love them and we want the truth to be adhered to, especially on this issue, because again, it is our blessed hope and a tremendous witnessing too for the lost who deep down really do want to go to heaven. So show them the way to escape what is coming. Luke 21:36. I have to run. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Till next time, see you then.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.